Hi, it's Doug. Today's show has some coarse language that we don't usually have here on the podcast. It's a conversation between two old friends, and I wanted to maintain the integrity of the conversation. So if you're offended by such language or someone around you might be, this is just fair warning that this show might not be suitable in all environments. Thanks. And welcome in. It's the Doug Russell Podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Summer is finally getting here, I think. We are getting to the halfway point of vaccines being administered in America, so hopefully we can snap out of this sooner rather than later and get back to regular life. And of course, regular life includes, among other things, going back to the ballpark. My ballpark as a kid was Milwaukee County Stadium. And if you're old enough to have gone to games at County Stadium, you're going to love Jim Crine's new book, On Story Parkway, Remembrances of County Stadium. I contributed a chapter on the financing of and location decisions of that led to the first publicly funded baseball stadium in America. And my chapter dives into the fact that we all kind of remember how much rancor went into the Miller Park fight, now American Family Field, but that was a battle that seemingly lasted forever. Well, County Stadium opened in 1953. They begun talking about a replacement for aging Borchert Field as early as 1909, and it was one thing after another that delayed getting County Stadium built. That's my chapter, and it was fascinating to research it, and I hope it's as fascinating to read it for you. But County Stadium was a stadium that began baseball's westward expansion. It was a stadium that made Milwaukee a big league town. When she opened, Milwaukee County Stadium was the crown jewel of stadiums in North America. By the time she closed, it was arguably the worst, but she served her purpose and she served it well. Jim Crines and I go back more than 25 years to nights spent in a place called the Media Loge at County Stadium. It was an open-air row of seats that was right in front of the broadcast booths on the mezzanine level. Now, when I say it was open-air, it meant that on opening day, we were out in the elements with everybody else, and when it was summertime and it was an afternoon game and that metal bench in front of us was exposed to the sunlight, it was about 10,000 degrees as well. But the best times in the world, when it was a beautiful July night, it was just perfect out, and we had the best seats in baseball. And it was there that we were able to soak in baseball, and we were able to form bonds and alliances that still hold true today. So this is a conversation that admittedly does get a little salty, maybe even meanders a little bit, but in so many ways, it's a love letter to the ballpark and the people that made County Stadium so special. A couple of weeks ago, Jim and I sat down and had coffee outside at the Collectivo Coffee Shop across Lincoln Memorial Drive from McKinley Marina in downtown Milwaukee. This is the first time that we've been out, you know, among people.
True.
And Jim Crines joining me now. Longtime
friend. I'm a people.
Well, I know.
Okay.
And you and I are fully vaxxed. So we're very happy
that
about
that. That sounds wrong.
Well, but it's not. Not in 2021.
I know. It sounds like a reach around.
Well,
are you fully vaxxed? Yeah, give me a second.
The new book is On Story Parkway, Remembering County Stadium. Over 600 pages. It's beautiful, by the way.
677, but who's counting?
You are.
I measure everything by this book, if you know what I mean.
Sure. Tell me
everything.
Let's start at the beginning. Tell me about the book, though. I mean, honestly, you're getting a lot.
You want me to be honest?
Yeah, you're getting a lot of run for this book, and rightfully so. It's over 600 pages. There have been County Stadium books before, but I don't think there's been any.
No, not
like
about
this.
County Stadium alone.
There's been a couple.
No, in the locker room or whatever.
Yeah.
That's not County Stadium. It's like saying me writing a book on you sleeping. That's not a book about Doug Russell.
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I want to say is 677 pages. You can use it as a doorstop after you read it. The best thing about this is you can give it to somebody you love, and I swear to God they're going to enjoy it, but then you can give it to somebody else unless they mark it up. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's like herpes.
Well, and it never goes away then, too.
Well, I know. It's always part of you. Well, you never know. In a few years, they might have a cure for that, too.
But. That's true. Well, look, it's 2021. We're vaxxed, right?
Yeah, I'm vaxxed, so baby.
It all comes back around to being
vaxxed. That's a new pickup line. Hey, baby, you vaxxed?
Are you vaxxed?
Yeah, and then next thing you know, you're in the back seat of a Chevy.
We're too old for that, aren't we?
Well, I didn't say I'd be doing anything. I may be sitting there and
playing solitaire on your phone?
Hey, as long as she's there, whoever she is, I'm good.
All right. So,
what did I just tell you about? We're sitting out here at the lakefront and two beautiful women walk by. What did I say?
You said, don't hit on anybody that's younger than your daughter.
Hit on. I haven't hit on anybody in 28 years since I've been married, but you can't lust after them because you get in big trouble. I mean,
sure.
Psychologically.
Does your daughter live around here?
My daughter's going to be 50 someday, and I'm going to feel like a pervert for lusting over someone under 50.
Yeah, that's probably how that works.
That's sick.
I don't have any daughters. That's
so sick. Well, then you can lust over anybody.
Then it works out for me, doesn't it? So this book.
Can you tell we've known each other for 28 years?
Well, let's come back full circle then, because these conversations used to happen on a place called the Loge, called the Loge.
Yeah, it's you almost can't describe it to somebody else. It was a club, even that we got in for free. We were fed. We laughed. We watched baseball in the most intimate spot under Euchre's knees, I'll say that. You know, the old TMJ sign, you remember that. We were sitting there, and we were getting sun. You'll never see anything like that again, and I swear to God, maybe that's why it's as magical to you and I.
The Loge, for those who don't know, it's where they put the overflow media. Generally, it was the radio and TV
guys. Yeah, the
guys.
Scumbags.
Right, the unwashed that weren't welcome in.
Yeah, but even the good unwashed, Tim Van Voren, Lance, they all of us scumbags in anything but print. Those guys, those sons of bitches, are arrogant beyond belief. Anyway, let's get back to that later.
So we weren't welcome, and there wasn't, to be honest, there wasn't a lot of room up in the main press box. But I wouldn't have wanted to be in the main press box either.
No.
So what they did is they built what they call the Loge, and it's this, I guess, deck that was right in front of at County Stadium.
They've seen us out there. They've seen us. They just didn't know what the hell we were doing.
Exactly. If you were old enough to remember County Stadium and you looked up toward Euchre, if you looked, there was like one row of...
It's like a big church pew.
Yeah, of us.
it was always full.
That's where we were. And the characters didn't change that much. It was you, Jim Crines. It was me.
Dan Minella,
Norm Briest.
And then once in a while, Tim VV would sit down, or one of the TV guys would sit down with us. But we were always cordial and friendly. And then you'd get one time Mayor Norquist sat down by us. He probably never came back after that.
I don't remember Mayor Norquist ever being there.
Just once.
Okay. Well, I must
have. I was real stuck up. I pretended I didn't know him.
But I used to sit in front of the TMJ booth because it was trippy for me to listen to Euchre. Yeah. Without a radio.
Oh, can I tell you a quick one? My first
night
up there, I swear, there's two instances I want to tell you about the Loge. A foul ball came up there, which happened 23 times a game.
Yeah,
right?
I did. I almost got killed by a few of them.
Well, I got one to tell you about that. But the ball came up there, was ricocheting around, and, you know, I was new, so I went for it. And guess who else went for it? Larry Bandy. And Euchre goes, Bandy and some new guy are chasing down the baseball. That's my best Euchre. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I remember one time. And it was late in County Stadium's history, and David Nielsen was up. And you remember CJ Nee, of course. Another CJ Nee?
Oh, yeah. He's an editor now, right?
Yes. And he was working for the ESPN station at the time.
Back in the day.
I believe, back in the day.
Just starting out, yeah.
Yeah, I was just starting out. Yeah. We were both just kind of starting out. And we were just having a conversation, and there was a chair in between the two of us. And we weren't paying attention, and David Nielsen just rocketed one back that must have been at about
3,000
conservatively 112,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, right.
And all I saw was just this blip out of the corner of my eye, and then right behind me, wham!
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just bounced back onto the net and then back out on the field. Now, nobody else in the stadium could have possibly known, but CJ and I...
Did you soil yourself?
I think we soiled ourselves.
Yeah, because I came up there once, and I saw some soilage, and I thought... Doug and CJ.
We're probably not the only ones that, you know, soiled ourselves.
Did Euchre mention it?
I don't know. I was so freaked out, and I think I didn't not pay attention for the rest of the season.
Well, I don't know if this is as good as that, but I will tell you. My left ear, I blew out in an airplane 30-some years ago. So I have about 75-80% hearing. No, wait, 25% hearing, 30% hearing. And you never turn your head on the lows. Rule number one, there should be a big sign saying, moron, don't turn your head. So I'm talking to Len Casper out of my good ear. So I'm looking right, just like the field of play was to my left ear. And all I hear is smack and Jimmy. And Len put his hand out and stopped it in front of my temple.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding. I mean, he hurt his hand. And I still had the balls to ask him for the ball. I swear to God I did. And he's
did
like,
he get it?
No. It went in the net and he got it. But honest to God, I would either be a drooling vegetable or dead. And some consider me a drooling vegetable now. So.
Well, you never know. If it would have hit you, maybe it would have.
No, honest to God, there's no way, Doug, right? I mean, it would have blown open my brain.
It might have. I had a similar, as long as we're telling stories. Do you know who Paula Faris is?
No.
She was on The View for a while. She's been on ABC Weekend News for a long time.
No. How many times do I have to tell you? No.
Okay. Anyway, Paula Faris, beautiful woman, by the way. And she was a young reporter in Chicago when I was in Chicago working at Sporting News. And we were at a White Sox game before they moved the press box. And the White Sox had a great press
Comiskey
box.
Comiskey or the new one?
New Comiskey.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was this rocket that was hit back. And similarly, she was talking to somebody next to the two of us. And she and I were sitting next to each other. I did the same thing. Deflected the ball with my bare hand. It would have smacked her right in the face. So I saved. I like to say that
did
I saved.
Did she thank you, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she thanked me.
And you're sticking to it. I was at covering the Bucks. I say that term loosely, covering. I was there a few years ago, and my childhood idol, I'm not a big basketball fan, but I'm sitting there at the tables, you know, when you're eating the media, they feed the media pretty well. And a guy says, do you mind if I sit down across from him? I said, of course. So I'm eating a few minutes, and I'm going, I know this guy. I don't know where. I said, are you Marcus Johnson? And he said, of course. Yeah. He said, yeah. And I grew up idolizing this guy.
Sure.
I mean,
we all did.
You know, it was him, Sydney, who I have another yarn about, but it's just those moments, you know. There's only a handful of guys in the pros that I give a rat's about, you know, rat's ass about. There's a few, you know, Rob and Molly. Some of these guys, like Gorman, talked to me at length for the book. But there's just, Doug knows this, that when you break into this thing, you know, covering games, you feel like you won the lottery. Like, how can I be sitting next to, you know, Tony La Russa or Frank Robinson or whoever the hell it was? Mm-hmm. And that wanes with time, like any J-O-B. You get to the point, and then you realize some of these guys are just strokes. And some of them are incredible human beings. Like Ted Simmons, he talked to me for an hour at his locker. Those were the days, man, when you could sit there and you'd be getting... I walked into the Miller Park locker room, visitor's locker room at a time I wasn't supposed to. And it was All-Star game. They didn't want anybody in there. I don't know if maybe they let you in. But I walked in accidentally. I didn't know better. And there they were, these gods, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm talking, you know, all these guys. Frank Robinson, there was... Anybody you could think of in the 2002 All-Star game that... had something to do with it, was in there. And I literally, it's the only time in my life I remember that being the most impacting moment was, you know, Clemens, anyone. I can't go down the list. You know who was there in 2002. But that, to me, was the most magical moment other than almost being killed.
So you mentioned Robin Yount. He gave you a blurb for the book. Talk to me about some of the guys that you did talk to and got memories from about On Story Parkway.
I will. Robin emailed me his for transparency. I don't want to, you know, I got his number from a friend, but we texted and he emailed me his response. A lot of the other guys, you know, I say this lovingly, they weren't, a lot of the older guys, you know, the stars, so to speak, are difficult to get a hold of. And even the not so much, Charlie Moore was an ass. Cirillo gave me 5 months to get one sentence. But the guys I talked to, like Dwight Bernard, I know he's not the top of your, you know, but he had great yarns. Mark
he's on
Brohard,
that 82 team.
No, Mark Brohard. A lot of those guys from the 82 team, you know, Gantner gave me a memory. Just some of them I spoke to on the phone. Doc Medich, I know, you know, and you know, what's his first name? Do you know it?
George, I think.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. What do you do, go home and study almanacs?
Don't I get my wife started on
if
that.
I hadn't done the book, I would have thought his name was Floyd or Harry. So it's one of these things where some of them were just effusive. Treblehorn and I talked, but, you know, a lot of the guys are tired. I mean, let's face it. People have been wanting a piece of them for 40 years. I mean, you get to a point where you get pecked and
pecked.
Yeah, but
this is their thing, though.
Well, can
it?
I tell them about Vukovic? Would
sure,
that be all right?
Please.
friend of mine, John Adam, who I met through the book, he was a trainer for the Brewers, for head athletic trainer for, what, 23 years. He was there in the early days. He was there for the series. And he asked Vukovic if he'd do a memory for me. And Vuk, who was a big guy, volatile guy, funny, I think. He had lots of funny things. And he said, you know what, I'm kind of tapped out. You know, fuck them. I'm done with them. Mm. And I think a lot of these guys were kind of chewed up and spit out. And back in the day, you know, a lot of these guys were kind of afterthoughts. They took care of their stars. But I can get it. I mean, if I'm 40 years, everyone wants a piece of me. I still want a piece of these guys to promote the book. I'm not going to lie. I'm no better than anybody else. So I emailed Gorman this morning, and, you know, and it's like, God, quit pecking on me, man. Yeah, but you say it's part of, not anymore. You know, this guy, what's in it for me? You know, why should I talk about County Stadium? Why should I talk about my life? I'm tired. I've moved on. You know, where'd you break your cherry on the first field you saw? And any man worth his testosterone will remember that first time he walked up those steps and saw that church. Mine was Wrigley. And I have that moment in my mind when I walked up those crappy steps at Wrigley and I saw this, you know, there's God and then there's the grass at Wrigley Field. They're on the same level for me. And I looked at that and my life changed. I know that sounds corny. I know that sounds stupid. Because I played on a dirt infield. I was pretty good as a kid, and I played where we played in Lombard, Illinois. You know, you wouldn't wish it upon your worst enemy. These kids today have batting cages, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
I had Walter Matthau from Bad News Bears as my coach. I'm not even sure he was drinking, but I swear to God, I remember whiskey being involved. And we'd be hitting on dirt. And I came out there and saw this green. And I'll bet you there's 80% of the guys listening to this would say, yeah, I get it. That aha moment where you still thought it was possible you could play on that someday.
Oh, sure. I mean, I remember my first game. It was at County Stadium. And God bless baseballreference.com because you can go back and look things up and see if you got it right.
Oh, yeah.
So
thank God for the internet, man.
What I remembered from my childhood is that I thought it was summer, but it wasn't. I thought it was the 1979 season, but I wasn't sure. I knew it was the Brewers against the Twins. I knew the final score was Minnesota 3, Milwaukee 2.
Jeez.
And I knew that Gorman Thomas hit a home run. Putting all of that together, thanks to baseballreference.com, I found the game.
Yeah, and nope, you can do that in 5 minutes.
September of 1979.
You can do that in 5 minutes.
Absolutely. And so just piecing those things together...
Yeah.
I mean, you go back and you try to remember. I mean, Robin Young got picked off first base.
I saw Dick Allen break up a no-hitter, a Nolan Ryan no-hitter in the ninth with a dribbler. He broke up in Comiskey, and I think they lost. But
Do you remember your first game, though?
No, I have crappy memory. I mean, I remember Wrigley, and we were still at the end of the bleacher bums. But I do want to say something here before you cut me off. This book is not just about baseball. You wouldn't know that listening to this crap for 10 minutes here. But it's about the concerts. It's about the things. We'll wrap up. But
no,
football
we're fine.
Games.
We're good.
It's
this
about,
is a podcast.
But it's about, it's a, I almost said it's about podcast.
It's about
no commercial jumping in here.
Yeah, no.
We got a commercial break coming up.
There's no commercials.
WTMJ News Time.
You're meeting Van Voren at 11. It's 9:44.
I'm giving him the book, kids, so you know he's going to put it on TV. So you better buy the darn thing. It's not the cheapest book in the world, but you're getting 677 pages. So grow up. But
yeah.
I do want to say one thing, my friend.
No, what I'm saying is it's 9:44. I don't have to be on the air for another hour.
Okay,
so we're good.
But we can chat for fucking ever. So I went to Whitefish Bay. I don't know if you knew that.
Whitefish Bay High School?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't drive through it. Yeah, I went to Whitefish Bay High School. So I'm sitting up there, and my friend Dennis Cobbs, who's in the book, believe it or not, he went to Marquette, and we both worked at a service station up in Shorewood, and we used to steal gas for our motorcycles all the time. I mean, that's back in the day when it was 73 cents a gallon. I mean, go figure. So we go to see Foreigner or one of these huge mega acts at County Stadium, which I go into. I have a new book coming out in a couple weeks called 1812 Overture Record Stores and Stadium Rock Concert Tours. It's about all the concerts and promotions in Milwaukee, and a lot of them, the Pink Floyd, the Rolling Stones. So we went there, and we're drinking pretty heavy. We were 16 or 17 getting shit-faced in the parking lot.
Mm.
In those days, drinking age was 18. I'm looking across here. We're down at McKinley Marina. And if you can believe it.
Yeah, we're the Colectivo at McKinley Marina.
If you can believe it, Doug, when I was in high school, we used to drive in that parking lot and then open a trunk with a quarter barrel of beer.
I believe it.
Those are the frickin' days where the cops, we never even worry about the cops. Here, we're 16 and 17 getting shit-faced. on the lakefront. Okay, getting back to that other. So Dennis, I don't know what the hell we were drinking, but we were drinking a lot. So he lays down on the hood of the car, took a nap, right? And he was out. So we went in, saw the 3-hour, 4-hour concert, came out, and he's still on the hood of the fucking car. Dennis, if you're listening, you slept, man. You slept. You were Luca Brasi. You slept with the fishes, man. But there's so much more. Jehovah Witnesses hung out there. WWE hung out there. Ice Capades, Bob Hope.
Yeah.
So this is about, and I'm really serious here. I don't like reading all that much, even though I read a lot. I read Dostoevsky. I read plays. I read screenplays. But I lie. I read a lot. But you don't have to. That's the thing. Put it on your coffee table book. Read a memory from Young. Read a memory from Fingers. Look at these pictures and leave it there. And then someone else, I swear to God, when you got a friend coming over and you go get shit-faced at a bar, he's going to be, what is this? And he's going to read about some of his favorite players. He's going to read about some guy that, you know, snuck in when he was 10. He's going to read about all these things. These people didn't send me memories to get out of the rain. They loved it. They love doing this. So, I mean, you're going to put it on your coffee table, and people are going to pick it up. It's going to be one of those books, you know. It's not like something you're going to put on a shelf. You're going to want to keep it out there. And I promise you, if you don't like it, Doug will refund your money personally. I won't.
Oh,
screw that. I'm not giving anything back.
So this took a couple of years to do because you contacted me.
Yeah.
Well over a year ago.
No, it really was 2.5 years. This is a story. I'll give it to you quickly. There was a publishing house that should be nameless in North Carolina that was going to publish this thing. And it's self-published, but who gives a shit? It's still selling like hotcakes. But I had a falling out with them. And I got a lot of people to contribute. Doug contributed, Patrick Steele, and all these great people, Rick Schabowski, Matthew Prigge, all these guys. I sound like I'm in Academy Awards.
No, but that's
good. You going to play me off?
No.
Okay.
By the way, I have to say, this kind of a conversation, this was like the third inning on the Loge.
You think we're kidding?
We're not.
I actually talked about baseball once up there.
Just once.
I swear to God. You know me in movies. Casper and I would talk about movies.
That's
we'd be talking about Tim Van Voren. I swear to God. I love baseball, but once the game starts, I'm bored shitless.
It's so tell like, me about, the, I mean, this
oh
was,
God.
It was like birthing a child.
It was. It was like birthing. It still hurts. I had an episiotomy, so it went
it
a little easy. Yeah,
right
you
and
know.
A half.
It's my fifth child, so I was ready to go.
I was, when you know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago when you emailed me the cover, I was like, it's done. I can't wait to see this thing.
Yeah, but you thought it was legit. You thought it was through a publisher.
It's a book.
Well, it's 677
right
pages.
It's 677
if you pages. Saw that in the bookstore,
right
what
now.
Would you say?
I would love this because...
But you look at it and go, holy cow.
Well, yeah. I mean, so this was self-published.
Well, yeah, and I'm not embarrassed to say that because if you know anything about
this
the publishing industry...
This self-published.
If you know anything about the publishing industry, you know it's a fucking racket. You know you could write a bestseller today and you wouldn't earn shit. It's your second book where you can start negotiating. The first book they tell you, and I'm not talking about Obama's book. I'm not talking about some.
Sure.
I'm talking about a novel.
Yeah.
If you came out and sold a novel today that was New York Times bestseller, you're not making shit.
Right.
Honest to God.
No, I know.
I'm doing okay on these, but it's been 2.5 years of work. So anyway, long story short, if possible at this point, I have photos that 150 people sent in, and you're not going to believe. We're looking at the cover. There's Yogi Berra. There's Euchre. There's the locker room. There's the 75 All-Star team. Ed Matthews Jr. and I talked for a while. He sent me pictures. And then these are things, you know, friends have said I struck lightning on this because this is such a shitty time right now. We're all one step from either committing a mass shooting or jumping off a bridge. I'd prefer the latter, though.
Right.
I don't want to kill anybody. But so you now it's time to sit out a colectivo, have a cup of coffee with your friend for 28 years and say, I want to see something else, man. I want to hearken back to a time where I went with my father before he croaked out to County Stadium in the bleachers. The two-fisted slopper jumped all over me and dumped. You guys don't know the two-fisted slopper. Well, tell me what you know about the two-fisted slopper.
What do I just? I just know that they played the two-fisted slopper at
who was
Stadium.
He?
The voice
the
or
no,
or
the
guy?
Fictitious guy. He was this big fat ass.
I don't know.
Shirt riding up on his tummy, and he.
Fans have speculated that it was based off of Gorman Thomas. But
no, I don't.
No, I'm serious.
I think it's after My Pillow Guy.
The My Pillow Guy wasn't a thing then.
Yeah, but he has the belly, the fat mustache, and he's walking around spilling beers on people. Wouldn't that be the My Pillow Guy?
I don't know. He's sober now.
Are you gonna edit the My Pillow Guy out?
No,
because that guy is mentally deficient.
He's interesting. He was on Jimmy Kimmel last
night. I heard.
Night.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Can he get out a sentence? I want to watch that when I get home.
He's all over the place.
He's like me. Only I don't have pillows.
Now, this is the fourth inning at County Stadium.
Fourth inning. No, honest to God. And let me tell you, we could go up and get brats, Polish sausage. I must have eaten 7,000 free Polish sausage up there, 4,000 sodas and peanuts. I mean, they treated us damn well.
They did.
And, you know, they didn't need us. Yeah, they needed us, but not so much now.
They didn't need us.
Well, no, I disagree. I think they did, and I think that Bud Selig understood that.
Brewers were so shitty at the time.
But it's in the book that Bud Selig knew. He knew how to play the media. He didn't like it when you wrote something negative. I do have to tell you one anecdote that's in the book.
Please.
Marty Welskoff and his father, Ed, who passed away a little while ago, Ed worked in the Braves press box since day one. Right?
And Marty still works.
Marty's still there.
The American Family Field press
box. Yeah, I mean, but he was at County Stadium forever. He told me about Bud Selig and Uecker were in a back room there up there. I don't know, it was a storage room or whatever. And Selig would get pissed when the team was losing. You didn't want to be around him.
No, that's
know
true.
When he was losing. I mean, he just lived every game. Nobody, I can't think of Steinbrenner living it that tight or anybody. So he got pissed. They were losing. He threw one of those big honking ashtrays against a wall, and it exploded. I remember Welskoff's in there watching. There's just three of them. And Uecker goes, "Buddy, it's just a game." Give me your best, Uecker. Say, "Buddy, it's just
all
a game."
Right.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Buddy, just a game. And if you knew anybody, if you said that to him, Selig would have punched you in the face or he would have kicked you in the groin. But Uecker,
he seems mild-mannered, but until the team was losing.
But Uecker was the only man in the God's green earth that could have said that to him.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they both laughed.
Without a doubt.
No, I mean, it was the only man that could defuse that. It's just a game, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, it's not just a game.
What's ironic to me is that Selig and Uecker, to this day, are still such good friends.
I think they are.
And Bob has always called Bud Buddy.
Yeah,
but
hey,
that's
buddy.
But that's what he calls everybody.
Who
doesn't know your name.
Oh, fuck. I was Buddy. Hey, Buddy. I don't blame him. I do that, and I have nothing.
The day I graduated from Hey, Buddy to Hey, Doogie, I got to tell you, man, that was
Jonathan Green,
a County Stadium memory.
Jonathan Green used to call me
in your damn book.
Jonathan Green used to call me Mongo.
Mongo.
Probably from Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah.
That son of a bitch. So, yeah, if you didn't know Selig, he wrote the foreword, and I'm grateful to him. You know, let's be honest, there would be no baseball here if he hadn't done what he did.
Oh, without a doubt.
No, there's no question about
that. There's no question.
And if you don't appreciate what the baseball team does for a city, the profile alone, yeah, you bitched and moaned about the tenth of a cent that came out of your gas. But here we're a major league city, and if you don't think that goes a long way in PR and attracting young people to come here and work from all over the country, you're wrong. This is a huge PR thing, and I am so grateful. You can have the rest of the sports and wrap them up in a balloon and let it sail off, but baseball to me, and Doug and I were talking earlier, I have to say, I hearken back to those days when you sat in the bleachers and you could sit in between innings, have a beer with Doug and I talking, and I miss those days. I mean, you know, and those
simpler times.
Those moments, you know? It really was when you didn't feel you had to entertain me. You don't have to entertain me at a game. Let me watch the game. I don't need for you to come up with huge things to take up my time. The game was enough.
Mm-hmm. It was. And, well, I think it's because, you know, as I break out my cell phone, I mean, that we're all so instantaneous. We
you
all
ever notice that when you're at a game? How many people are on their cell phones at a friggin' game?
They all are. That's why they have to tell you to keep your eye on the ball.
Well, I look at people, and I have one of those deals where it's $100 a year, for the, including the phone. I can call if I'm, you know, getting vaxxed somewhere. If my car breaks down, I text a little bit. $100 a year. Can you guys believe that? I know people that spend more than that a month. And my point is, I never look at the goddamn thing, only to see if somebody called once in a while.
Right.
But these people, I'm telling you right now, you're making mush out of your damn brains. You can't be without it. If you took a phone away from a kid today, he'd crawl up in a fetal position and shit himself in the corner. You know, you take that away. Doesn't anybody think that's a little screwy?
Well, then you know what you should do? They should go out and read
the book. I love the way you're mentioning the book more than me. Well, shouldn't I be pushing it?
Yeah, you should.
Well, screw it. On Story Parkway. If you're so stupid, you can't remember that.
It's in the title.
Remembering County Stadium. If by this point you haven't figured out what we're doing here. I mean, Doug didn't just call me up to do this to get out of the rain. He knows we're selling a book here. But honest to God, if you had a gun to my head right now, which is entirely possible with you. Do you have a carry permit?
I don't.
Or put that gun to my head right now. This is a book you're going to like. Honest to God, Doug. Really? You don't even have to read much.
Well, we talked a little bit about some of the memories. Give me two memories.
Everybody's asking me these.
I know, but come on. Is this not the most fun interview that you've had?
With you?
Book? for this
oh,
book.
Oh, I'd give my right nut to do this with everybody.
Is Van Voren going to ask you about...
Van Voren? Jesus Christ. He's going to show up in a spacesuit with a G-string. Hey, Timmy and I go way back with Doug. Timmy Van Voren, for any
he's
of you
of
that don't know, if
world.
You don't know him, honest to God, you could kick him in the balls and light his hair on fire, and he wouldn't say anything negative to
I
you.
I know. He's the nicest man
honest in the
to world.
God, you could step on his foot, and he'd say he was sorry.
I know. That's why I picked on him.
Well, I don't know. Oh, I got to tell you, I'm looking at this thing. I asked for memories from all these players, and I got out to the mailbox yesterday expecting my usual porn delivery, and I get one from Rick Dempsey. It's like, Rick, I cut off submissions in August. You know, what's he doing? Is he like in a six-month stupor?
I don't know.
Why the hell would you answer mail 6-8 months? As a year ago, I sent him this thing.
How much mail does Rick Dempsey get, do you think?
Probably not. apparently more than I get.
And the thing about that everybody remembers about Rick Dempsey is not that he actually played for the Brewers. It's when he was with the Orioles, how he put on Robin Yount's jersey.
He said they were good friends.
Pillows underneath his.
Yeah, they were good friends. What year did he win the MVP in the World Series?
Who, Rick Dempsey?
Yeah.
It would have been 83.
Oh, Jesus. You know, your wife, she's a saint to put up with your sports knowledge. You would bore the piss out of me if we were roommates.
Well, it's because the Orioles beat the Phillies in the
I don't want to hear about it. The Brewers, I don't know what they did last night. I could be at the game and not know what was going on.
They lost to the Marlins.
Now, just say one tonight. Thing. Say yeah, one thing for
that?
Me.
What?
Say, even though Jim Crines doesn't know shit about sports, he knows people.
Jim Crines.
I want you to
even if Jim Crines
that.
Doesn't know shit about sports, he knows people.
Honest
I will
God,
admit
though.
That.
No, I mean, you got to admit I'm a colorful person.
Well, anybody listening to this knows that.
Well, I mean, to me, this is what this book is all about. You're not going to know what Yount hit in 83. You're not going to hear what, Tom Treblehorn did in the ninth inning. But you are going to hear about things you'll never hear anywhere else.
How's Treb doing since Bo passed?
I sent him a condolence. He's great. If anyone doesn't know Treb, he's a former school teacher. He's very bright, very smart, and he's great. He sends me all these funny videos all the time. And, I didn't know him before I started this book, but some guys you just jibe with. And he's been so supportive. And
he's still out in Arizona?
Yeah, I think so. No, he's in Washington State.
Oh, he's in Washington State.
Yeah,
okay.
That's where he's from, right?
He
sends me
from?
Pictures of his. He's got like some reflecting pond or something that he sits out in. I interviewed David Zucker for a book I was writing, the guy from Airplane. He built a tree house in the last year or so.
Wow.
That's during COVID, and a beautiful thing. I mean, when you say a tree house, you think of something on The Simpsons, but it's like a 3-bedroom condo up in this beautiful California tree art on Story Parkway, remembering County Stadium. We're here with Jim Crines. Forward by Bud Selig. I gave him some mushrooms and he wrote it.
Nice.
I was one of the last interviews with Hank Aaron.
Really? Well, tell me about that.
Well, we were saying earlier how we're not impressed with anybody. We don't get really agape about anybody. I was nervous.
Yeah.
I didn't know. This guy's been interviewed, 83,706 times. And what do you say to a guy who hasn't heard it all, And, I always try to start my interviews with something to catch him a little bit off guard, mm-hmm. Like Don McLean was one of my favorite interviews of all time, the American Pie guy.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, tell me about American Pie, I said, so what kind of acts are you playing these days? And just to catch him off guard,
sure.
Right? And so I said to Hank, I said, what would you have done if you didn't play baseball? And he said, oh, my God. He laughed and said, I hate to even think about that.
Wow.
But, here's a guy that's been asked, tell me about your record. What was it like winning a record and you were black and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what can I ask this guy that will...
That's why you know people. That's what makes this book interesting.
Well, I think so. I've interviewed my share of celebrities, and I rarely ask something like... I did a piece on Jeff Jenkins, and I think we went off on his... He's kind of a Star Wars nerd. And that was the key to the piece for me, not, what you did last week, or mm-hmm. I wanted to know what you dig, man.
And they'll open up because...
Right away. Council is not an easy interview. Council's not a great... for me, to get him... He doesn't seem like he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking... I forget what it was, but... Oh, his cousin went to Whitefish Bay with me. His cousin.
Okay.
I got it wrong. I thought it was his brother. He's like, no, that's my cousin. But it opened a door.
Yeah.
And Charles Barkley was one of the nice... I met him once, and I interviewed him once, and I was going to my deathbed saying he was one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life. Charles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's some real strokes. Who was the biggest stroke you ever interviewed?
Honestly, Vukovic.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I got into it with him.
Oh, you got into it with him?
Oh, do you want to hear this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Then we'll go. We were at the 82 reunion about 8-10 years ago, whatever that is.
No.
Everyone came to town. Molly, everybody. So Vukovic, I'm 6'4". you know, now I'm 300. I was probably like 270 then. And he comes up, makes me look small a little bit, you know, because he's got to be 6'6 still, and he's like 93. So he's standing there. And I asked Molly, I said, you know, coming second in the World Series, isn't that kind of like your daughter applying to Harvard and she got into Madison? He's like, so he starts laughing. So I said to Vuk, I wasn't in a good mood. And to be honest, I've never been that big a fan of coming in second in 82. Uh-huh. I mean, can you imagine any other city that puts up with that crap?
Sure.
You know, Yankees, you'd be hung and they got rid of the team. But I said to him, and I'll never forget this as long as I live, I said, are you here because you want to be or you have to be? Pete did not like that.
Really?
Who are you with? Who are you with? I want to know who you are. I said, I stand by my question.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't want to get there, but I don't know, maybe I stepped on his vax or something.
Maybe. You never know.
Well, this has been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for your
time. I really, Doug, it's so nice to know that friendships can endure in this. And I think we have friendships in this business that have lasted.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know,
look.
30 years.
We go back and we're talking about our time on the Loge and County Stadium.
Well, we worked together. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we worked at TMJ.
Yeah, I did news there, believe it or not. I barely remember. I remember me getting into a fight with Benno Schmidt.
Number one, what the hell is Benno Schmidt doing now?
He's, cleaning out porta potties. But with Benno, so we're sitting in the newsroom, and in those days, you remember, the newsroom was right next to the TV newsroom.
Yes.
And Doug knows I have a bit of a temper, which is putting it mildly.
That's, you know, shocking.
I have a bad ear, too, remember? So I had the volume up a little high, and Benno's over there. You'd think he just, you know, took a golden crap. That's the way he was. And he was admiring it. And then he's like, could you turn that down? Just real sassy. If you ask me nicely, I'll do it. But when you get cop attitude with me, I said, so I put it down a bit. I go, how's that? He's like, yeah, that's all right. And I said, well, you know, what kind of name is Benno anyway? That was Dan Shelley's like, Jim, shut up, Jim.
Dan
like,
Shelley, the old news
oh,
director.
Oh, yeah. What kind of name is Benno? And he gives me this. And Benno's a big guy. He gives me the finger, you know, the come with me finger.
Uh-huh.
So we go out in the TMJ hallway, which is like walking into a different world. It was so old. And I'm standing with my back against the wall. That's how confident I was. And we're eye to eye. And I forget what we said, but this is the truth. You ever want to stand up to somebody that thinks they're hotter shit than you? I swear to Jesus and my daughter's souls, every day after that he was, hi, Jim. Like, when you stand up to somebody,
it's true.
You know what? And I don't have anything against him. I shook his hand. It's over. Men say it's over. But you're not going to get me to back down, not because you think you're hot shit. And the only player who was, Vukovic, I didn't back down from him. And he could have hurt some. He could hurt me.
Yeah.
He could hurt me. I mean, he's got paws that are like baseball mitts.
Yeah.
Remember the guy from the bench catcher? What's his name? The bullpen catcher?
Marcus Hanel?
Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he used to be able to hold five balls in his hand.
I think it was more than that.
His penis must have looked really small. I have a joke there, but I can't tell it. Thank you, Jim, for coming by today. On Story Parkway is available on Amazon.com. And we look forward to your next book, Jim.
I think that wraps it up.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Thanks, Jim. My conversation with author and longtime friend Jim Crines on Story Parkway. You can find it wherever you find books. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. That's it for today's show. Also hope you get a chance to go find Jim's book. It is a must-have keepsake for any longtime Brewers fan, as well as any baseball historian. Again, it is on Story Parkway. That's it for this show. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.